Hello, welcome to the talk. I'm Vyacheslav Čižek, and this talk will be about the upcoming new TLS standard 1.3. I'm a software engineer at SUSE. I'm mostly doing C stuff, and I come in touch with the most popular SSL implementations on open source implementations. I maintain OpenSSL, GNU TLS, and also Apache module for NSS. Well, first I'll outline what TLS is, some short introduction, and what are actually the problems with the current supported protocols. Then I'll introduce TLS3, and later how is actually the adoption of TLS3 standard, when we can expect it deployed, so on. So what is TLS? TLS stands for Transport Layer Security. It's a cryptographic protocol that enables a secure channel over the internet. It's widely deployed and used for HTTP or for email, VPN, YP, and etc. The architecture of the protocol is client-server, and the protocol uses public infrastructure to authenticate the peers. Also, there are other options like withdrawing the certificates via DAIN or using raw public keys. Well, the secure connection that the TLS protocol establishes has these properties. It authenticates at least one of the peers. Since TLS 1.3, this is mandatory for the server. There are no anonymous ciphers anymore. And the authentication is mostly done using public key cryptography. Confidentiality is enabled by the use of symmetric ciphers. The data that is transmitted is private to the peers. Attackers can see into the data. And the protocol also provides integrity, which means that the data can be modified, but all the modifications will be detected, and the connection will be terminated. The TLS protocol consists of essentially these two pieces. The first and the more interesting part for us is the handshake protocol. It's used to establish the keys. It's a shared key material. It also negotiates the parameters of the connection, and it's also used to authenticate one or both peers. The record protocol is the underlying protocol. It's used for the data transmission. It cuts the data into the pieces, encrypts them with the symmetric cipher, and sends it over the wire. The TLS handshake looks like this. First, the client contacts the server, sends a client hello, and a key share. It's both parts of the protocol establish the shared secret by using a random nonces, and they are mixing this nonces into a keying material, which is the master secret, and all the keys which are used for the communication is derived from this. Well, here's a brief overview of the history of the SSL or TLS protocol. At the beginning, in the 90s, it was called SSL, and it was developed by Netscape. The idea was basically to enable internet banking so people can use their credit cards over the HTTP. The protocol is obsolete for a couple of years. It has major issues. And there's actually an RFC that prohibits its usage. The same goes for SSL 3.0. And the following protocols are currently in use. Mostly, we are using TLS 1.2 now, because it's the most modern variant of the protocol and offers the best features and best security. And also, there was a big paradigm shift in the mindset. So, because there was a lot of attacks against TLS protocol. So since a couple of years ago, the new versions of the protocol are deployed more aggressively, and also we are moving to more secure keys. Well, here are some couple of deficiencies found in SSL v2. The protocol is mostly unusable because an attacker could terminate the connection because there's no signaling of the end of the transfer. The connection is terminated. The SSL connection is terminated as the TCP underlying TCP channel is killed. The hashing messages are also not protected, which is susceptible to many little middle attacks. And for example, the attackers could downgrade the negotiating ciphers. It also has a weak MAC, which is a message authentication code, which is used for integrity. And both keys for the encryption and for the MAC are the same, which is also a problem if one of the protocols is weak. And compared to the new versions, also it misses a lot of functionality. And not even security, but also in extensibility. SSL 3.0 was a protocol that was actually killed by Adok. Do you know which one? Yep, it was called by Poodle. And it was a padding oracle attack on this legacy encryption because SSL 3.0, the best cipher that was available in the protocol is AES in CBC mode. But this Poodle attack can be leveraged to actually decrypt the plain text without a big hassle. So after this attack, SSL 3.0 was abandoned because it was no longer considered secure. The other used cipher that was used by this protocol was RC4, but the cipher is also considered broken. Now, here are some other issues with SSL 3.0. What's that? There are no suitable ciphers because the C++ mode is basically broken by the Poodle, and RC4 is weak and also biased. Other issues are with the composite CBC mode because TLS uses this MACDAN encrypt construction, which is also vulnerable to attacks, to Oracle attacks like Lucky 13. Well, the key exchange is also vulnerable to many middle attacks. There was attacks against the negotiation and also a triple hash check, which was a combination of resumption and renegotiation. The hash functions which are used by the protocol SHA-1 and MD5 are also no longer considered secure. This protocol had something that's called custom cryptographic primitives. So the peers can actually negotiate some cryptographic primitives, and that's risky because they might not be reviewed as the usual pieces, building blocks of the SSL protocol. Again, missing functionality is a big issue also because the security issues which are shown on the left were fixed in TLS 1.0 by using TLS extension, which is a mechanism that opens the possibility to extend the protocol. Well, here's a sum of list of the attacks against TLS. So I grouped them into several groups. This AES-CBC mode was vulnerable to attacks like Beast, the aforementioned Poodle, Lucky Microseconds, and MACDAN encrypt construction is also broken. And compression is another often misused feature of the protocol. There were attacks, crime, time breach. The Beast attack was actually the first one who used this sketchy nickname. And the other attacks basically followed. And a Heartbleed issue, which was actually not a protocol issue, but an implementation issue in OpenSSL, brought all this marketing stuff to publishing vulnerabilities. There's also a problem with RSA, with the PKI CS 1.5. It's known to be broken since 90s by cryptographer named Daniel Bleichenbacher, and all the attacks, the Klimas attack robot and Berserk, are all based on the same thing. They are basically reiterations of this attack. RC4 is broken because it's just too old. And MD5 and SHA-1 are also not considered as secure anymore. And another often broken feature is renegotiation, which also was targeted for several attacks. Well, here are some other security issues. Well, the protocol got quite complicated over the years. So the implementations don't always get it right. So there were a couple high-profile vulnerabilities like Heartbleed, Berserk, or SMAC, which was attacked actually on the state machines of the SSL implementations. And also, there's hundreds of other bugs. A weak cryptography, or mostly the legacy stuff, like export ciphers, which are with us since the 90s. They're actually leveraged several attacks which were downgrading the protocol to unsecure ciphers. There are two interesting RFCs. One is summarizing the NAM attacks against TLS, and the other one are recommendations for secure use of the protocol. Okay, let's. Yep. Sorry. Okay, so we have some basics behind us, and now let's see what TLS 1.3 is doing. It's a brand new standard which is basically freshly developed. The development is led by IETF, which is an organization that is taking care of web standards. The development started 4 years ago, and it took actually much longer than expected because there were several obstacles on the way. The standard is developed in a very open way. There's the GitHub link, what you see, that's actually the specification that was submitted for approval. And besides the GitHub, lots of discussions about the protocol are going on the IETF mailing list. Well, as the development was taking so long, and it was more open than previously, this brings a lot of benefits, like several actually independent implementations were implemented, and the protocol was also formally verified. The handshake was verified, and this state automat. These are the design goals of TLS 1.3, as outlined by Eric Rescola, which is the principal author of this protocol since SSL 3.0. So the first big thing was to clean the protocol up, to remove unused stuff, obsolete stuff, risky stuff. The other objective was to use modern, secure cryptography. And other is to increase the privacy of the users, because the channels like DNS are going to be more private and encrypted in the future, and so is the plan of the TLS protocol. Well, as for performance, the goal was to speed up the handshake, because it's still a giant overhead. It's not the same as it was in the past, where using the public cryptography was a big obstacle, and it took a huge amount of CPU time, but the CPUs got faster. But still, and also one of the biggest goals was actually to be backward compatible as much possible, because there are setups and not everyone is moving forward and using the newest tools available. Okay, now for the cleanup. These are the victims that fell prey to the cleanup of the TLS-1.3 protocol. There are these custom DHE groups. There were actually mostly unused, and server will have to guess and size that's acceptable for the protocol, but this feature was mostly unused. And other, well, not so widely used feature was point format negotiation. Well, all the clients and servers mostly use the Angobrez format, and TLS 1.3 removes this completely, and there's just one format for each curve. Another thing that's gone is DSA, and also other not so popular ciphers like Camellia or Aria. They were actually part of the protocol in the beginnings, but they were removed later on. And another thing that is gone is renegotiation. The protocol was largely simplified. And the handshake was very structured, and several things were gone. And when that was possible, things were merged together or just reduced to a basic set. For example, session resumption in TLS 1.2 and pre-shared keys got merged together because both of them were doing basically the same thing. And renegotiation was removed completely and replaced by two separate mechanisms. The renegotiation thing is convoluted and it was source of several vulnerabilities, for example, the triple handshake. Well, what we have now instead, we now have the key update mechanism, because one thing for which the renegotiation was used was to actually update the traffic keys, which is something you might want to do, because if you are encrypting with a key too long, you may run out of the secure amount of data you can transfer. And also, if you are using the same key for months, then I guess it's time to update. Another thing for which renegotiation was used is the post-hashing authentication. why the client authentication was used after a handshake? Well, one thing is that you can, doing it like this, the client certificate will be transferred encrypted. So it's a good thing to have against, let's say, a massive dragnet surveillance. And another thing is why it's done after the handshake is because there are actually lots of corporate websites that are partially secured. So there are some protected resources, and when you are browsing through the website then you stumble upon something that is supposed to be protected, then the server asks you for the authentication. This thing was actually removed early in the process of standardization of TLS 1.3, but several drafts later, Microsoft came that they are using this. They have large customers that are using the corporate websites, and they need authentication. And people were quite unhappy because the renegotiation thing was finally gone. It caused lots of trouble before, but instead of putting this thing back, this new post-handshake authentication was introduced. Okay. Okay, security improvements. Again, lots of things were dropped. Compression. Again, source of lots of attacks. And it was actually no one knows how to implement it properly. There were attacks like crime time, or breach, which was actually on the HTTP level compression, but compression on end-level encryption usually causes problem, and there were several attacks that were able to using repeated chosen plaintext attack. They were actually able to figure out HTTP cookies and things like that. Export ciphers, again, a thing of the past, gone. RC key exchange is gone to, I mean, RC certificate state, but this key exchange is gone because it's just too slow compared to elliptic curves, and it doesn't offer perfect forward secrecy. RSA PKS S15, again, it's known to be broken since the 90s. Other thing that's gone, any cipher that don't offer authenticated encryption. And also static Diffie-Hellman exchange, because this thing wasn't used and doesn't offer PFS. Well, so here's again the list of the attacks I showed previously, and compression gone. Non-AE8 ciphers, that also includes RC4 again. RSA gone. So basically all these classes should be eliminated in TLS 1.3. Okay, so what's left? The ciphers in TLS 1.3. What's different? I may jump right here. This is how the TLS 1.2 and 1.3 ciphers do look like. In TLS 1.2, the ciphers also outlined the key exchange and the authentication mechanisms, but this was split off and it's now negotiated separately. TLS ciphers are now just much shorter than just provide the encryption and MAC. Authentication in TLS 1.3, it's either by the certificate or by a pre-shared key, which is used for resumption. A key exchange, it's RSI is gone, so all the ciphers are Diffie-Hellman exchanges and does offer perfect forward secrecy. Well, here's the complete list of TLS 1.3 ciphers. There are just five of them. Just AES and ChaCha is left. All other stuff was removed to simplify the protocol, because if you have fewer choices, then you have fewer chances to actually implement it improperly. Okay, so for a key exchange in the TLS 1.3, elliptic curves are used. These are these NIST ciphers and also Daniel Bernstein's X25519 and X448. Finite field, Diffie-Hellman also remained, but for example, OpenSSL didn't implement it, and they don't plan to. For authentication, RSA still can be used, but there are modern variants which could be used instead. And as I said, for encryption, everything is perfectly forward secure. We have SGCM and ChaCha. And this one cipher is mandatory to implement for all implementations. Okay, so to summarize this cipher pruning, in TLS offers just a few, but very good choices at the moment. There are just five cipher suites, from which one is mandatory, and there's one single point format for each curve. There are no negotiation anymore. Okay, speed up improvements. The hinging was speed up, one run trip was shaven off, in most cases. The full hinging now takes just one round trip, and the resumption can be used even with a zero round trip. The round trip means, the way to the server and back. And it's basically the start, the amount of round trips until the data can be transferred through the protocol. Okay, so this here are handshakes for 1.2 and 1.3. These are the general handshakes. TLS 1.2 takes two round trips, because client sends first the ciphers to the server, then the server picks one of the cipher suites and sends back his key share, which is the Diffie-Hellman group, to be used for negotiation of the security material. Then the client sends its key share, and we are finished, and we can send the data. In TLS 1.3, well, it's visible here. Looks so. The difference between 1.2 and 1.3 is that in 1.2, the client was very pessimistic. It was like, I don't know what the server can be doing. There's just too many options and ciphers to choose from. I'll send everything I support, and I'll let him pick something. Whereas in TLS 1.3, the protocol is much more optimistic. There are several limited choices which actually intensify this. So as we are only have a couple of ciphers, we have a couple of Diffie-Hellman groups to choose from. Then the server just, I mean the client, just guesses. It prepares a key share for some of the groups which will be negotiated, and sends it over the server. Well, the server looks at the choices and determines whether they are fine or not. If they are fine, then he just sends the client back one of his key share. He also sends back the certificate and the signature of the certificate, which is a proof that he's actually owner of the certificate and can encrypt and decrypt data with it. One router has been shaven off, and the server can, and the client can transmit data. This is basically what I just said. The key share offered from the server can be four more groups. For example, the client can send P256 and X25519, and if the server supports either of them, you can just pick one and send the single key share for it. Well, this is nice, but it's not guaranteed that the client will guess right. So what happens when the client guesses wrong? Now we are back to the two round trips. This is the worst case in TLS 1.3, but shouldn't be that common, because the choices are quite limited, and some of them are mandatory for each implementations. So what happens now? The client sends something, but the server looked at it and wondered, well, you're sending me these groups, but I would like to use something else, that P256, because it was generated from some magic seed, and I don't like that. I would like to use X448 instead. So it sends a hello retry request, and after that, the client sends a new client hello with a single key share for the selected Diffie-Hellman group. The group that the server picked must have been listed in the supported groups by the client. So basically, this worst case is as good as the usual case in TLS 1.2. We can actually do better, and we can use something called resumption, which is used to shaving off a round trip. In the past, it was the idea behind it was mostly that the public key cryptography is too expensive, so we want to amortize the cost. So we want to avoid computing large RSA, computing with large RSA keys. So what is done instead? Can go back. This is the full handshake, and there are two mechanisms in 1.2 for the session resumption. There's a session ID, which is transmitted during the handshake, and there's also session ticket, which is transmitted after that. And TLS 1.3 doesn't use any of these mechanisms. It has its own. So what's here different during this session resumption? Well, the client sends again the client hello, but previously got from a server a pre-shared key or a session ticket. And using this key, the client the client and the server exchange the shared material already, so they can skip the negotiation, and also there's no authentication because the peers are authenticated by having the pre-shared keys. There's no need for a certificate because the client verified the service identity during the previous connection. Well, here's something about perfect fallback secrecy. That's a good thing to have because if the traffic is got compromised, that perfect fallback secrecy says that the attacker, even with the compromised keys, can decrypt past connections. And in TLS 1.2, well, with respect to the certificate, the connections are perfect for that secure only when the Diffie-Hellman key exchange is used. If RSA is used, then there's no perfect for that secrecy because having the private certificate of the server, the attacker can decrypt even the past connections and recover the shared secret for them. And using this ticket mechanism for pre-shared keys, in TLS 1.2, there's no perfect forward secrecy because if the attacker gets to know the pre-shared key, then he can decrypt all the material, all the traffic from now on. And TLS 1.3, with respect to the certificate, we have perfect forward secrecy because all the ciphers are now Diffie-Hellman FML, and with the pre-shared key, we can use something which is called PSK-ECDHE. That means that we are actually using pre-shared key with Diffie-Hellman together. And if we are there's another option to use just pre-shared key alone, and we are basically back to the TLS 1.2. Here in the resumption, in TLS 1.3, there's an additional key share message, which basically means that the Diffie-Hellman groups will be negotiated and secret material will be derived using this algorithm. So instead of using the pre-shared keys from now on, after handshake, we will have a brand new keying material. Okay, so basically, most of the connections using TLS 1.3 are just one round trip, but we can actually do better. We can even reduce this one round trip and send the data during the first flight. This is done using the early data extension. This is how it looks when TLS 1.3 is used with the early data. The early data can be used with the pre-shared keys. So instead of waiting after the handshake, the data can be sent right over because we have keys already. We have the pre-shared key, and we can encrypt the traffic and send it over. Well, with the zero RTT data, the early data, it works like client sends an extension that is able to send zero RTT data, and the server can later decide if it'll use the data or just discard it and return to the one RTT basic mechanism. Or you can agree and proceed with the parsing the early data and signaling by this early data extension. There's an issue with replay attacks. Because when an attacker captures the clean hello, he or she can actually replay it against the server, and it will look like completely legitimate use. So there are some anti-replay protections. If the server could save the zero RTT state, then it would be pretty easy to actually tell that, well, I got this in the previous flight, so this must be a replay. I will just discard it. Well, the problem is that servers are not just one machine anymore. It could be, if you are a content provider, you can have servers geographically spread, and there's no chance you can persist, you can keep a globally consistent state. But there are some protections in the protocol that could be used to prevent this. Okay, here are some traffic countermeasures that are implemented in TLS 1.3. More parts of the handshake were encrypted. For example, the server certificate is now encrypted, and using the post-handshake authentication, the client certificate could be encrypted too. Record content is now encrypted. The old field for type just now says application data for everything, and the real content type is hidden, encrypted in cipher block. TLS 1.3 also implements arbitrary padding. The padding can be added at the record, so an attacker can guess the size of the transferred material anymore. And for SNI, there's a proposal to smuggle it as in the zero RTT data and to use some kind of front server and a hidden server. So you will connect to a server, send it a bogus SNI, and the real SNI will be hidden in the zero RTT data, which is encrypted by the pre-shared key, but this is still in progress. Well, compatibility with the previous versions. There was during development, this was one of the biggest obstacles. We delayed the development of the standard for the longest. There are some middle boxes on the internet. There are machines which usually examine TLS traffic and then decide whether it will allow it or drop it. They usually perform a middle attack against the TLS connection. So instead of connecting to a server which you want, you will be connecting to this middle box, and which will terminate the connection there, and it will connect to the server on your behalf, and then will transfer the data. These machines are used to mostly security scanning. But these are usually some black boxes which are actually not well maintained, and some of them don't like new versions. The version on the wire of the TLS protocol is called 3.4. This for historical reasons, because SSL 3 was 3.0, and all the following TLS versions just incremented the number. So the solution to pass TLS 3 through these machines was to camouflage the TLS protocol to look just like TLS 1.2. So for example, the version of the protocol is now, it was frozen, and it's using the 1.2, and the real version is actually has been moved to the extensions. There's a supported versions extension which holds the real version. And also the new key share mechanism, it has to be moved to a separate extensions, and also the pre-shared key mechanism is implemented using extensions. The hello retry request is camouflaged as server hello. That's because the machines wouldn't understand a new handshake message and will terminate the connection. So instead, the server hello is used and a bogus value is set in the random. On the change server spec specification, change server spec message, which was used in TLS 1.2 to signal that all the traffic from now on will be encrypted, it was dropped in TLS 1.3, but the implementations are allowed to actually use it for better compatibility with the older protocols. And there's something called Grease, which is a mechanism to keep the server more agile, and so they got used to newer stuff seen in the protocol. There's a proposal which will add some random data to various fields in the protocol, so keep the servers from and implementations from ossifying. Well, TLS 1.3, there are some issues which users might run into. The ciphers are no longer compatible with TLS 1.2 because the key exchange was moved to a separate negotiation. So, for example, using ECDHE string in OpenSSL server won't list any TLS 1.3 cipher suits. So that's a thing to watch out for when you are using explicit cipher strings in OpenSSL. Sessions are not established after the handshake. There's a special API for this because previously the sessions were established before, DSR certificates are gone, and renegotiation and compression was removed. So if a TLS 1.3 implementation encounters renegotiation and compression, it will terminate the connection. Okay, so we have a brand new standard, and when we can expect that it will be deployed. Well, the draft was recently approved as a proposed standard by IETF, and it is scheduled for becoming an RFC soon. Well, the adoption is actually quite good, considering that the protocol wasn't fully ratified yet. Most of the SSL implementations are at least working on implementing the draft. In OpenSSL, everything is implemented, but there was no actual release. Everything is in master, but this upcoming 1.1.1 version is scheduled in a few weeks and may be released very soon. The same goes for GNU TLS. Everything will be enabled and fully implemented in 3.6.3. In NSS, the support is, well, since the beginning, because NSS was actually used for the first TLS 1.3 connection over the internet. So, and the Eric Arskoga guy, for example, who is the author of this TLS standard, is employed by Mozilla and is working on implementation. And Microsoft, well said, it's in the development. And Apple is set to implement it, this actually already. Well, support in web browsers is also very good. Chrome does support it and is actually already enabled. The same goes with Firefox. There, the well, adoption is being gradually enabled. You can check it in about config. For Safari, it's implemented, but it's off, and Edge, again, in development. Well, web servers, Nginx has perfect support for quite some time. IIS, not yet. And Apache, well, currently the only chance is using mod NSS. Well, other applications which are very useful for this is Wireshark, and it has perfect support for dissecting the TLS 1.3 protocol. Okay. This message which indicates end of TLS connection also ends my presentation now.
Hello. So you said a server should keep a state for zero round trip stuff. For how big is the window?
You mean
like
keeping? Yeah.
Should it keep a state for 1 hour? And if a package is older than 1 hour, like comes with times and older than 1 hour, it can automatically discard it, or how long?
Yeah, for if you mean to prevent the replay attack, there's actually support in the protocol. There's a timestamp which the server will check, and for example, if it gets to zero RTT data, and then it gets minutes later, then it will just discard it because it was too late.
So how big is the window in the standard?
Well, it depends upon the implementation, but usually very close, because seconds, it's too much.
Okay. So the second question is, SNI is not in 1.3 or still?
Yes, and it's even mandatory now.
Yeah, but you said the encryption fault is like still in discussion.
Yeah, if you mean encrypted SNI until 1.3, then that it's not implemented yet in the standard. There's a proposal for doing that, but it actually needs collaboration with other protocols, so this is not done.
So, as per your expertise, what's your expectation? I mean, how long will it take to switch to TSL 1.3 for the servers? Some servers will still run the old version or in compatibility mode, so some old vulnerabilities can be used. And the second question, are we moving into the direction that actually the client side also will have the certificate and it will be verified?
So first I'll answer the first question. Well, there's nothing wrong with TLS 1.2 when configured properly, because we have secure ciphers. We are basically safe. That's one of the reasons, for example, why LibreSSL didn't implement 1.3 at all for now, because the standard was developing and TLS 1.2 is good enough for use now. Could you repeat the second question, please?
The second question was, if you're moving into the direction that the client side also will have the certificate, which will be verified, and so we not only validate the server's certificate, but also on the client side, we have kind of a password.
Well, I'm not sure I understand the question.
When we initialize the connection, we verify that certificate is valid for the server and for connection to the server. But server doesn't validate the because client doesn't basically have a certificate. So connection can be from anywhere. And is there any movement for, I don't know, maybe some specific areas where this is applied, so the both sides are validated?
Well, no, it's not. Well, the client ciphers are basically an issue. So there's I don't see anything moving it in front. Okay, any more questions? Okay, thank you for coming. Thank you.